Rye Guy is up next. Take it away, Rye Guy.
Dark Wolf!
Turning around, the young furry grinned and waved at his friend. Ectorman jogged up and high-fived him. It was the second day of school at the Cutler Academy of Acting, better known as Cutler AA High, and Dark Wolf had missed his friends over the summer. He missed the first day of school because his car had broken down and he had to go out and buy a new one. He clicked the button and his sleek new Porsche locked itself and they started walking up the steps to the school as the first bell rang.
"It's been forever," Dark Wolf said.
He wore the school's uniform, which was made up of dark dress pants, a button-up short-sleeve white shirt, a tie, and shiny black shoes. Every guy had to wear it, but Dark Wolf liked to be a bit unique and wore a Chicago Bulls basketball pin on his tie, which had footballs all over it because he really liked sports. He had short, dark, semi-wavy hair and wore stylish glasses.
"I know! Why weren't you here yesterday?"
Actorman asked. He was one of Dark Wolf's good friends. They had met last year in their creative acting class. Ectorman wore the same thing Dark Wolf did, but his tie had Richard Nixon on it, and his hair was blonde and curly.
"I had to get a new car. It's a Porsche," Dark Wolf replied.
He had gotten it because it was Italian, and so was he, plus it looked cool.
"Oh, cool! So our first class is Anime Gasps 101, and our teacher, Mr. Russ, he passed out from lack of sleep and he's on extended leave or something. We have a substitute or something. I've heard he's really mysterious."
"Hey, Dark Wolf!"
Sonic didn't have a chance to say much more before Dark Wolf's werewolf Sonic Mega Radar reflexes kicked in and he punched Sonic in the face.
"Ow! What was that for?"
"Because you're a moron," Dark Wolf responded automatically.
"Oh, fine. At least I know I'll pass this class with flying colors,"
Sonic muttered as they walked into the room. Dark Wolf's head turned towards the front of the room, a bit curious. His eyes landed on the teacher, and he could only describe the substitute as some kind of mysterious being. His breath caught in his throat a bit. The substitute was what appeared to be a 24-year-old Asian man with long, dark hair tied back in a ponytail. He wore glasses and a suit that was a bit crumpled and unkempt, though the look works for him very well.
"Class, today we're going to discuss the pros and benefits of the classic anime Gasp as an introduction to the course," he said, standing up.
He was tall, taller than Dark Wolf, and his piercing eyes swept the room.
"First, roll call. Ectorman.
Bada boom!
Cam.
Bing bang!
D-Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Sonic.
Present!
Tara.
Hi.
Sam Haft.
Looking sharp.
Shudo.
Bishi?"
His eyes came to Dark Wolf as he read the names.
"Dark Wolf."
"A year, sir,"
Dark Wolf said, a bit apprehensive. For some reason he had no idea, but he felt like that substitute could see right through him.
"I'm Matri Fu, but you can call me Matri Sensei."
"I'm late!"
Dark Wolf wailed desperately in his head the next day.
It wasn't his fault! He had been running to school when he had tripped and all of his papers had fallen out. It was so terrible! He had perfect attendance usually, too.
"You're late."
Dark Wolf looked up and saw Motley Sensei, his sleek hair tied back, his piercing eyes pinning Dark Wolf in his tracks.
I know,
Dark Wolf said slightly nervously, even though he had no idea why.
"What's wrong? Why are you tripping?"
a voice in his head piped up.
"I don't know," Dark Wolf thought, a bit irritated. "Who are you?" he thought, annoyed. "I'm your inner voice, shut up,"
it said snidely.
"This teacher is weird. Tell me about it,"
Dark Wolf thought, focusing back on the issue at hand.
"Detention,"
Motley Sensei said silkily.
All right.
Dark Wolf's heart pounded. He had had detention before, sure, but the thought of it made him nervous for some strange reason. He sat down quickly and bent his head over his anime gasping technique book, looking up at his sensei from under his eyelashes. Who was he?
"Sorry you got in trouble,"
D-Max said.
"That's tough."
"That's so lame! Detention first week!"
Ectorman agreed, scrunching his curls to make them a bit bouncier.
"Plus I failed the first test of the semester. I'm doomed!"
Dark Wolf groaned. Sam Half slapped him on the back reassuringly as he took a huge bite of his sandwich.
"Now, really bad shoes,"
he said through a mouthful, but no one could understand him. Sonic snorted as he sat down across from him.
"I think he meant to say, don't worry, he's heard that Motley Sensei only eats the really bad students,"
he tried reassuringly.
"I have a 67% in the class because of that test."
You're screwed, Sonic said supportively.
Well, at least it won't be bad enough to get you sent to Principal Dylan, Actor Man said brightly.
Dark Wolf groaned again and threw his veggie burger away. He was trying to cut down on carbs anyway. After school, it was a sunny, bright day, and all of Dark Wolf's friends, they were all into sports, but none of them as much as Dark Wolf, because he loved sports so much he could have done a really retarded stomp dance in honor of them, or even sing the Chicago Bears theme song for a singing contest. We're heading to go watch the game.
Are you coming? Bulls against Lakers, it's gonna be fantastic!
D-Mac said excitedly.
If we hurry, we might be able to catch the first touchdown!
I wish. Detention, remember?
D-Mac nodded, remembering, and wished him luck before running off to catch the game.
You can do this, Dark Wolf told himself, breathing deeply as he walked down the mostly empty hallway toward Motley Sensei's classroom. You're not nervous. You're not nervous. Why would you be nervous?
Because his eyes are like they stare into your soul,
the voice in his head whispered.
They're different than anything you've ever seen.
Shut up, Dark Wolf told the voice. Gosh, it was so irritating. Whatever, he could do this. Breathing in deeply, he opened the door confidently and walked in to find Motley Sensei on the phone, his back turned towards the door.
They're all scared of me. It's hilarious,
he said, laughing.
They all think I'm going to eat them,
he chuckled slightly.
And I think I'd like to keep it that way.
Turning around, he saw Dark Wolf and the young furry stopped in his tracks.
Oh? A detention student here,
he said and flipped the phone off with a smirk.
Take a seat.
Dark Wolf did, and Motley Sensei walked towards him and took a seat in front of him, facing him.
I noticed you've already been having trouble in this class.
Yes, sir,
Dark Wolf replied.
His inner self yelled at him. Now wasn't a time to be nervous.
Detention might as well be useful. Give me an anime gasp,
Motley Sensei instructed. Dark Wolf did so and winced a bit.
Huh?
Motley Sensei breathed in deeply.
Again, with a little rest suck.
Finding himself laughing a bit, Dark Wolf did it again.
Huh?
Motley Sensei shook his finger and demonstrated an anime gasp, leaning in a bit.
Huh? Try that.
Dark Wolf did as instructed, leaning in on the desk, interested in what Motley Sensei was telling him.
Huh?
Okay, now do it a bit differently. Like this,
Motley Sensei said, and he anime gasped.
Huh?
Dark Wolf tried again, leaning even further on the desk.
Like that?
Dark Wolf's heart pounded. They were suddenly very close, and they were both silent.
Yeah, good job,
Motley said, and he clapped a reassuring hand on Dark Wolf's knee as he stood up.
Keep practicing.
Yes, Sensei.
That was as good as hairspray for me.
That was better than hairspray, I gotta say.
Alright, first of all, I'm sorry I did not write this, Dark Wolf Motley, and anybody else did it. D-Mac, Actor Man. I had nothing to do with
it. You're not apologizing to Sonic Mega?
Sonic Mega. I apologize. I liked your reading of Unique at the beginning of the story, when you're talking about Dark Wolf's unique dress sense.
Yes.
And all of your impressions were so win. Like, I'd love your whole story where you play Tara.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why Motley was Asian in this story.
Because, okay, do you remember, like, last year everyone thought Motley was Asian?
No, I must have been absent for that little thing.
Oh, okay. Well, not year, I guess season. No, it's year now, it's year.
Huh? I'm going to say this because I know Dark Wolf would. I don't know if this was as written as a joke that was just lost to me, but Bulls and Lakers are basketball, not football. They don't have touchdowns. All right. So, the beginning kind of... Your narrative, which at the beginning was kind of a little bit, like, dry for me, but then once you got into, like, all of the, like, voices, and it was really win to me. I'm trying to separate the fact that this was really funny because we know everybody from the fact that of how you read it, but the way you read it was so funny.
To be honest, Dylan, it was a win read. I mean, yeah. As the narrator, he maybe did start a little dry, but, like, there were times when he would be talking and he would put a little bit more emotion into it or a little bit more, like, he he'd say it like he was telling a story, and that's how you're supposed to do narration. And then when he was doing any of the other characters when they were talking, it was done really well. I mean, his Dark Wolf sounded effectively like Dark Wolf. His actor man was full of joy and bounciness. His Tara was full of sex appeal. His Sonic Mega was full of love for Dark Wolf, and his who am I forgetting now? Oh yeah, his Sam Half sounded a lot like Sam Half does sometimes. So I don't know. I liked it a lot. I thought all his impressions were pretty fantastic, and all his entire talking was awesome. I enjoyed this, and I had nothing I had wrong with it.
Yeah. This was good. I thought this was enjoyable. This is you're just really funny. You were a good person to read this one, I think.
Yes.
I don't know if anybody else would have made this one as a win, probably, but your inner Dark Wolf voice was funny, too, because it was like Dark Wolf, only a little bit more like gruff and Batman sounding.
Yeah.
Or emo comic reader sounding if you're Motley Fool. I enjoyed this. Good job, Rugeye.
Definitely.
Sonic Mega, you're up. With a Phantom of the Opera, Phantom of the Opera fanfic.
Author's note. Something I wrote ages ago that I should have posted ages ago. Please review.
Secrets in Venice. Of Wine and Wit.
It was a regular evening for the gentlemen in the corner booth. With indescribable wealth to their names and lifestyles that border on hedonistic, it was no surprise to the people of Venice that they had such a strong bond, a trust. Then again, the people of Venice didn't know their history, and the two didn't think they needed to. To the Venetians, they were just another pair of aristocrats out to soak in the beauty of La Serenissima and play at her charms. The booth in the corner was spacious and comfortable. The seats were red velvet in a half circle around a circular table, with draped with a lace tablecloth flecked with shades of burnt terra di siena and yellow ochre. They dined in leisure, sampling the finest of local cuisine at a comfortable pace, lots of song and conversation. Dinner was nearing its end when Raoul, the younger of the two, began to fall silent. Eric sent for a bottle of wine,
sir.
And, after pouring them glasses, eyed Raoul as he reclined back in his seat.
Raoul, you are hiding something from me. I can sense the mystery hanging from your lips and dancing in your eyes. You bear a secret that I'd like to know.
Thick, brooding silence before a smile crept across Raoul's countenance. He leaned forward, swirling the contents in his glass of wine.
Look into my eyes, and tell me what you see.
Eric, indulging him, looked into his eyes. Referring to his reflection, he replied,
"Well, I see me."
Raoul nodded and took a sip from his glass, allowing some of the syrupy red liquor to linger on his lips. Eric marveled at the slick translucency of his lips and sighed at that smile. Raoul's eyes darted around briefly before he leaned forward, but only so much as their lips barely touched.
"Now," Raoul whispered into Eric's mouth, "touch my lips and tell me what overcomes you."
The tart wine vapor played on Eric's tongue. Eric's thin, expressive lips formed a wicked grin as he pulled away abruptly, much to Raoul's surprise, and placed one of his elongated fingers on Raoul's lips. He lightly stroked the young man's quivering lips and then placed it into his own mouth, savoring the flavors of wine and saliva sensitively, knowing that there was a possibility that he might not ever be able to do it again.
"Well?" said Raoul.
"It's you," mused Eric. "It's me."
"Then there you have it," replied Raoul
as he contentedly leaned back into his soft, plush seat.
"You are my secret. The sight of you will be in my eyes everlastingly. I see you whenever my lids are shut. The sound of you will never cease to tingle on my lips. Your words strike me. Eric, You are my secret, and I'm going to keep you forever. Eric exhaled deeply and lowered his head to take a sip from his own glass. His eyes never left Raoul's face. Raoul noted that he was pleased. Eric reached into his coat pocket and produced a small black book. He pushed it across the table, towards Raoul.
"Read me one," he said with a smirk.
Raoul curiously opened the book and scanned the first page. He nodded and turned to the 23rd page of the book. He scanned this page, quickly mouthing words under his breath with his eyes closed. He put the book down and rested his chin in his hand, his eyes on the flickering candles in the center of the table, part of a small but elaborate centerpiece. Raoul nodded to Eric, who nodded and raised his glass in acknowledgement. Raoul took a breath and spoke.
"As an imperfect actor on the stage, who with his fear is put beside his part, or some fierce thing replete with too much rage, whose strength's abundance weakens his own heart. So I for fear of trust forget to say, the perfect ceremony of love's rite, and in mine own love's strength seem to decay, overcharged with burden of mine own love's might. Oh, let my books be then the eloquence and dumb presagers of my speaking breast, who plead for love and look for recompense, more than that tongue that more hath more expressed. Oh, learn to read what silent heart hath writ, to hear with eyes belongs to love's fine wit."
His eyes never left Eric's as he uttered each word with care. His gray-green eyes that glazed silver with the candle held his eyes of virgin blue captive. As soon as Raoul spoke the last word, Eric immediately stood up and moved to Raoul's side. Raoul's eyes widened, but Eric greeted it with an exasperated smirk.
"I don't care," he said.
Just before putting his lips over Raoul's, Eric arranged himself at an angle so, to the passerby, it looked like he was only whispering something into Raoul's ear. He did so, for the sake of the part of Raoul's personality as Vicomte. He ended the kiss and, straightening himself, returned to his seat, with a smirk that seemed like a satisfied reaction to the fulfillment of an inside joke. Raoul leaned back into his seat, grinning and shaking his head.
"I will never be bored with you, will I?"
Eric shook his head complacently as a mustached waiter approached their table with a bottle of champagne. He placed it on the table and directed his words to the Vicomte.
"Compliments of the ladies in that table, monsieur," he said, gesturing to a group of three young women in the nearer corner,
flitting their lashes and trying to act casual. Eric turned and groaned inwardly and told the waiter to send it back with his thanks. Raoul moaned and placed his head in his hands.
"I'm sorry about that. You know women and their coquettish ways."
Eric raised a brow and stiffened.
"No, I don't."
Raoul paled, but Eric laughed, dismissing it coolly with a wave of his hand.
"I'm flattered, actually."
He then reached for the book across, turned it to the last page, then flipped back a few. He read with a smirk, then spoke his piece.
"Let me confess that we two must be twain. Although our undivided loves are one, so shall those blots that do with me remain, without thy help, by me, be borne along. In our two loves there is but one respect, though in ours lives a separable spite, which thou it alter not love's sole effect, yet doth it steal sweet hours from love's delight. I may not evermore acknowledge thee, lest my bewailed guilt should do thee shame, nor thou with public kindness honor me, unless thou take that honor from thy name. But do not so. I love thee in such sort, as, thou being mine, mine is thy good report."
Raoul pursed his lips, but could not suppress a smile. Eric happily noted about how much the young man has been smiling in his care. They clinked their glasses and downed their drinks. Eric gestured to a waiter to their table and told him to bring another bottle of wine.
"The finest of the reds this excellent house can offer," he said to the waiter. "The fullest and most flavorful, if you please, and the largest bottle at that."
As the waiter left, he said to Raoul with a smile,
"The wine has to suffice for the night. It's going to be a long, long night.
He winked, and Raoul laughed uninhibitedly, soon joined by Eric. The waiter groaned to one of his co-workers about the particularity of their tastes on his way to the wine cellars.
Well, he said with a sigh, at least when they're satisfied, they tip generously.
Lucky for him, that night, the two were very, very satisfied. End. 4:34 p.m. 5:47 p.m. March 13th, 2005.
So I guess she...
Yes, Dylan.
What'd you think?
I thought... I gotta say I was pleasantly surprised by this. I was not expecting, what you did with this. I gotta say this because, it hasn't been so win on music choices throughout the night, but I actually liked your music choices through a lot of this. That has absolutely nothing to do with your acting. Anyway, I was really afraid at first when you said Secrets in Venice of Wine and Wit that you were going to do the entire thing in that voice.
I was too.
So, I was really glad when you came in with a decently normal voice, which I believe is your normal voice. Okay, this is not going to mark you down or up or anything, but the Phantom in Gaston Leroux's books is described as having an almost effeminate voice. Actually, a distinctly effeminate voice, so much so that it could be mistaken as a woman. So I thought that the two voices should have been switched, but that has absolutely nothing to do with this because it's not said anywhere in the story that Eric has the womanly voice. Anyway.
There was nothing... There was nothing for me really epic win or epic fail in this. It was kind of blah. Except that at the end, I thought the sex noises were inappropriate.
I don't know.
They were funny, but I thought they were inappropriate.
Yeah, but I did like that you read everything, even... I don't understand why there was time marks on here, or like...
Or why you sent them to him.
No, I sent everything that was on the page.
Oh, with, okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, that's the way I was sending out scripts, is that if it was on the fanfic page, then I put it on there. And since that was included with the rest of the text, and not like sometime after, I put it in.
I'm glad anyway, you read that.
Yes, I'm glad you read them. Because they were clearly part of the story.
Yes. And I'm glad you felt that they were so important that you put a music change, too, before yes. you read them.
I think one of the things that I've noticed when you read long chunks of text is that you'll emphasize certain words the exact same way every time you read them. Like, I started to notice that on Raoul a couple of times, you would emphasize it. Excuse my pronunciation of Raoul. It's just how I say it. But you would say Raoul in exactly the same, like,
that's his name.
And No. You would say something like, his eyes never left Raoul's face. Raoul noticed that he was pleased.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. And then you did it a couple of other times. You didn't do it quite as many times as I've noticed you've done it before. So, kudos for that, I guess. It sounded decently natural, compared to some of the things I've heard you read. So, I don't really have anything else I can say.
That is peculiar. There's nothing epic win or epic fail in this for me. You did a good job with it, like a decent job. I think you'll be safe.